Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey everyone, we're getting ready for economic season here at Consultant Connect, and I have Nick with us, and we are down to being able to count the number of seats left at economics this year on just two hands. But I think what is more important is obviously the urgency, if you haven't gotten your seat, to get with Nick ASAP. But we are doing something a little different with sponsorships this year. And while Nick is here, I wanted to have him share with you what sponsorship at economics this year will look like.
Yeah, and part of the Consultant Connect is we get the opportunity to really think outside the box and really give, you know, those that want to partner with us some unique opportunities to visit with the site consultants and have some, you know, different exposure that they, you know, normally wouldn't have as just an attendee. So we've created a couple of different unique sponsorships this year. We have an opportunity to sponsor one of our dinners. We have some entertainment sponsorships. And then we also have several general sponsorships left, which will give you access that the other attendees might not have. That'll give you an opportunity to meet with the consultants at a really cool sponsorship reception that we'll have the night before. And also will give you an opportunity to register for those office hour meetings a little bit ahead of time. So we'd love to have you partner with us. It turns out to be a really, really great event. We're now in our fourth year, and you know, a lot of sponsors have come back each year. So we really hope that you can make it. Let me know, Nick at consultantconnect.org. That's N-I-C-K at consultantconnect.org if you have any questions.
And for those of you that may not realize, if you've already purchased your tickets for economics and want to upgrade to a sponsorship, that is an opportunity that still is available to you. So check with Nick if you're interested in upgrading to that sponsorship level. Hey everyone, it's Carla Sones, and I'm so glad you're tuning in this week to this week's episode of America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm really excited today. We're talking to Kathy Musio, who is the managing partner of Atlas Insight. She's an amazing site selection consultant, has a really cool story that I'm excited for the listening audience to hear about. Her beginning in site selection is definitely different. I know no one goes into economic development or site consultant usually by trade, but her story is really cool, really interesting, and she just has a lot to share about her leadership journey and building a business. So I hope you really enjoy this week's episode. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us for the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm super excited to have you, and even more excited that I'm going to see you here in the next couple of days in person in New York, which it's been a while since I've seen you. How are you doing today?
I am doing good. It's Monday and there's so much to get done. So you start every Monday morning and you're like racing against the clock, but I'm good. And I am very excited to see you again after like a year, it seems, a while.
I know. Twins will do that to you. They take you off your airplane mode for a while, but I'm back on the circuit, excited about that. I'm excited to see you and a lot of my other favorite people later this week. But today we're going to talk about you and your leadership and kind of your journey. You have a really cool story in terms of how you've gotten into this work and kind of some direction that you've taken. So I want to start with just hearing a little bit about your story. How did you get started in site selection and, you know, the company that you're running now? How did that come to be?
Yeah. So basically, hard to believe, but I did not start my career in site selection. I'm not sure who does these days, but I actually started in the music industry. So I was a band manager, negotiated their deal, dealt with their work lives, dealt with all the professionals that we had on their team. And I did this for years, but got burnt out, sort of. And I was looking for a switch, a change. And it took me a long time to let that go because it had been so much a part of my identity for so many years. But one of my best friends from high school, her husband was in the industry, and he and I saw each other at a couple cocktail parties over the course of that year. And he kept saying, hey, you know, if you're burnt out from the music industry, you could come work for me. Your skill set would transfer. And I push back. I'm like, no, I'm in the music industry. Like, because really it was a part of my identity. And eventually I decided that I wanted to give it a shot. And that was, I don't know, like 20 years ago, maybe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So now the company that you're helping to run, at what point did you decide to not just be in the industry, but be all in the industry and make it your business, like your own business?
Well, that was sort of an interesting story that had a kind of a bad beginning, but a great ending. So Brian and I built Atlas Insight from the ground up. Brian Cord is my business partner here. And we started this company over 11 years ago. And Brian and I had been recruited to a firm called BDO. And we had been recruited from kind of the top of what we were doing at each of our respective firms into BDO. And within 6 months, maybe even less in Brian's case of being at BDO, they decided to do away with our non-core tax practice within BDO. So we looked at each other, we're like, oh, this is ridiculous, you know? And then we were like, well, wait a second. This is a chance to spin out to, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but do things our way, you know, be able to be flexible. There are a lot of things we did not like about the large company mentality. And we saw it as an opportunity. And we were reluctant at first. And then after about 24 hours, we're like, this is great. So we spun it out and we just have such great clients. We have a great team. Everyone says they have a great team, but our team is really fantastic. Everyone likes each other. And it's just, we're both very proud of it, I guess, as we should be. So that's kind of how I started in the music industry 11 years ago or 12 years ago, went to BDO. Well, actually, music industry, 7 or 8 years at a firm doing what we do now. Spun out to BDO less than 6 months there, and then spun out Atlas Insight.
Yeah, and you absolutely should be so proud of that. I think some people who would have been in that same situation would have, you know, been depressed and tried to figure out what to do. And I think it's really courageous that you and Brian said, you know, this is an ideal circumstances, but we're going to make the best out of it and do something that allows us to have a little bit more flexibility and freedom in the sense that we're not entangled in such a large corporate structure. So I think it's a really cool story.
True. Actually, interesting. When I was thinking, because I haven't thought about this in a while, when I thought about the progression from music industry to the firm in New York where I was to spinning out to go to BDO, there was actually a moment in time where I was really reluctant to go to BDO. And I was like, no, I kept on turning them down. I'm like, no, I'm happy where I am. And it really was the fear of the unknown. I was comfortable where I was. I made a good living. I liked the people I worked with. I mean, why should I take on this new opportunity? And interestingly enough, the office manager at that company who I was friends with saw me kind of wrestling with this. And that company at the time was being acquired by another company. And while we were told our jobs were going to be protected, I didn't know. And so she said, there's this book you should read. And it really helped me. So I went to Barnes & Noble during my lunch hour and I sat in an aisle, like on the floor, and leafed through this book, which was called, I think it was called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. This is like a true story.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm sitting on the floor and kind of a lot of this was fluff. Then I got to this chapter and it talked about the fact that fear is really a negative emotion. And it really, in most cases, especially with careers, doesn't have anything positive or impactful. It's just your mind playing tricks on you. And there was something in the wording, and I'm not restating it correctly, that really resonated with me. And I realized, wait a second, this is a great opportunity. And it's my fear that's preventing me from taking it and taking on this new challenge. And, you know, some might say, well, you kind of got screwed because you went there and less than 6 months later, they did away with the practice. But look where it led. Look what Brian and I, it gave us the opportunity to do and spin out the company and build after 11 years. But it's so funny, these forks in the road that you have, these decision points in life. And I could have easily stayed with that company and not have taken the chance. So many times in life, like you have like a truly almost binary decision going left or going right. And it takes you on completely different journeys. So I recall that. And it was actually probably the reason reading that couple lines from that book that made me take that job.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I think you're right. I mean, fear has a way of holding people back because, you know, the fear of the unknown or just change in general is so scary. And so often you know, based on that, you're like, well, it is a good opportunity, but, you know, there's always that but, and it's hard to overcome that. And those moments where sometimes just fate takes you in an awesome place because you're willing to take a little bit of a risk is so cool. I love you and Brian's story about building the business and just kind of taking that leap is just amazing. So let's talk a little bit about leadership today, because, you know, as you know, we're living in interesting times, and that means that there are interesting challenges for leaders. And I think there's always been a challenge to be in leadership seats, but I think that just living in the world that we're living in today, it presents some interesting ones. So if you had to think about what you would say the biggest challenge facing leaders today is, what would that be?
To be honest, it's probably hiring good people. And it's even harder when you're a small company. And even when you're an attractive place to work, and even when you pay competitive salaries, like for example, we do both those things and we're a great place to work. The smaller the company, the smaller the team, the larger the impact each new person you bring into the fold will have. So at Atlas Insight, we have a fantastic team. They're technically great. They're cohesive. We're almost more like a family, and actually a family that gets along, but a family. But how do you bring resources onto a team that's so cohesive that will add to the team dynamic or at least not subtract from it? And so that is definitely a challenge. It almost reminds me of that lyric. Like there was this group from the 60s or 70s called the Osmonds. I mean, I didn't listen to the Osmonds, but there's one lyric. And whenever I think about this, I think the lyric was something like, one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl. But in this case, that's kind of BS because one bad apple can actually spoil the whole team energy.
Absolutely.
So the smaller the company, hiring that right person, that right fit for your team, that's definitely the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I think that is so on point because we see that here in the office that, you know, I'm sitting in. We're relatively small team too. And because you're a small team, you're so reliant on one another because everybody's wearing so many hats. I mean, it's a small, you know, almost scrappy business. And so every single person that you hire makes a great impact on the team. It's really important that you screen and hire and really assess for fit on that team.
Yeah.
Very thoroughly.
It's actually almost more that cultural fit and the team dynamic. And how do you bring someone on who is going to work within that dynamic you have going on? So that definitely is a challenge. And every person that we've had join the team has been additive and it's been great. And we hope it continues that way.
Yeah, that's great. So when you think about leadership characteristics, what is a leadership characteristic that early on, you know, you believe that people, you know, should possess if they're in a leadership seat? And have you had a person in your life that really embodies that characteristic and kind of was that person that was either a role model or mentor, or you saw them with that characteristic and you're like, you know what, that's important and I need to have that too?
Wow. I'm not sure about that, but I will tell you that the one characteristic that I think any leader, actually, frankly, anybody in business or actually in personal life, in life should possess is the ability to listen. So as a leader, the ability to listen, to take into account other positions, other opinions. I mean, to me, this ultimately enables someone to sometimes move off of previously held entrenched positions if it's needed. And so I'm not saying that a leader shouldn't hold their ground if they believe in something, but listening and willing to truly hear another person's position or many other people's positions and implement changes to your own philosophy or thought if needed, I think leads to best practices.
I 100% agree. We're going to move in a little bit different direction and think about leadership. And, you know, we've all known people who a leadership characteristic or behavior they have had has either derailed or negatively impacted at least their career. What is a behavior that you've seen really make a not so great impact on somebody's career? And how do you guard against that for yourself?
Well, I would say sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes it's like simply wrong place, wrong time, and someone gets caught up in internal company politics and it's beyond their control. But as far as worst traits or behaviors, I guess there are a bunch. Being inflexible is certainly one. Having too big of an ego, which you sometimes see leaders have, which can make someone inflexible. That's another one. So I think how do I guard against it? Or how should anyone guard against it? I would think make yourself, again, truly opening to listening and actively listening. And I think that makes you listen to and hear, truly hear other people's opinions.
I think that's a great answer. And I think it goes right back to listening and really thinking about, you know, it's really easy to already have solved a problem in your head or already have mapped out steps for a particular project or work that you're doing in general, or how to navigate a situation. And sometimes people do have an ego, and sometimes people just get kind of stuck in their old ways or stuck in the way that they think things are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think listening and really questioning your own self and saying, you know, like, I'm feeling like this is not, like, I need to step in and say this isn't the right direction, but is that me not wanting that to be the right direction? Mm-hmm. Or is that really not the right direction? Like, is there room to be flexible here? Or am I just, you know, is that going against the way we've always done it?
Yeah. And the thing is, and it's funny, my business partner, Brian, and I have different styles, both externally and both internally in our thought processes. And it's sometimes funny because, and I don't know if this is a female thing, but I tend to look at every single angle of everything, like up, down, bottom, left, right. I try to think of, can any issues be mitigated? And so I feel like I don't have snap judgments. I feel like, and sometimes Brian says to me, to my own detriment, look, analyze everything to the nth degree. So I don't know if you find that it's like a male-female thing, but I tend to find that most men I know tend to stake a position, and that position might be the right position, but they know it right away and they stick to that position. Whereas many female leaders I know tend to take more time to analyze everything around that. And maybe at the end of the day, they come to the same position as, like in my case, my business partner does, or maybe it's a completely different position, but I know I do analyze things maybe too much.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting that you say that based on gender, because we've heard that before on the podcast, you know, that they're just inherently, and it's not always the case, but there are some inherent differences just in the way people operate and how they, especially in corporate environments and with major key executives, you know, different people have to have learned that success means operating slightly different. So it's just as fascinating to me. What advice would you give? You've obviously been in leadership for a while and are running your own business with Brian as a partner. What advice do you have for leaders who are just getting started out?
I guess the one thing I would say as advice is don't expect to have all the answers right at first. Just because you've achieved a leadership role, it doesn't mean you're expected to have all the answers. And I probably wouldn't act like you have all the answers. And I sometimes see people when they get into a leadership role, they all of a sudden act like I know best. And I would advise against that. And also your team is your best asset. So empower them. And again, listen. I guess the theme of all of my answers so far have been to listen. So listen to those around you.
Absolutely. And I want to listen into your answer for this next question, because it strikes me that you made a big life decision after sitting on the floor at Barnes & Noble, just like, you know, skimming through a book. And I'm curious to know, as time has went on, how are you continuing to grow as a leader? Like, what are the things that you're doing? Are you still reading? Are you listening to podcasts, conferences? Like, what are you doing to reinvest in yourself as a leader?
Well, I listen to America's podcast every week. That's one thing.
That's awesome. That's what we want to hear, Kathy. That's what we want to hear.
For me, I tend to read more than listen. Maybe it's because sometimes I multitask and read while I'm also doing other things. But for me, I try to stay informed as much as possible, read as much as possible. Obviously, it's a challenge because I think the more successful a person becomes, the busier they get. So obviously, the biggest challenge becomes finding time. Actually, this makes me think I could do a better job with time management and allow for more personal growth. So I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer this question.
Yeah, well, we all have those moments where we think to ourselves, you know, I would in a perfect world do this, but wait a second, why am I not doing more of that now? So it's good to have those epiphanies every once in a while and just doing small little things to give yourself a little bit more time.
Yeah, and truthfully, and also I would, the finding that work-life balance, really, I went on a family vacation with back roads to the south of France hiking a year ago in September now. And I never kind of unplug. And I did, in a sense, for 6 days. I didn't open my laptop for 6 days. And I came away so refreshed. So I would encourage, to the extent people have the opportunity to take vacations or frankly, even to unplug, that it really can give you a new sense of energy and a time to pause in lives or as a leader and just refresh yourself and then come back to the job.
Yeah, sometimes the best thing you can do is really give yourself clear headspace so that you can let your mind wander and you can start to be creative again. You know, we're busy all the time doing something. And sometimes it's reading and doing things that are really healthy for your leadership, but just having empty headspace where you can just like be imaginative and let your mind and thoughts go where they can go is so powerful sometimes.
Absolutely.
So we're going to end the podcast after this next question, because I know you've got a lot of other things on your agenda for this wonderful Monday morning, but I want to hear from you. You've done some great things in your career, and you have a lot of time left in front of you as well. But if you had to think back and think of, you know, what makes you the most proud in your career so far, like was there a specific project that you worked on or a specific thing that you did that you look back and you're like, you know, as of right now, that's what I would say. If I had to pick one thing, that's what thing I'm most proud of so far in my career.
That's a tough one. It kind of sounds like a job interview question, but in my career, I think we talked about this, but in my career, I would say really it's what Brian and I have built from the ground up here and taking something from scratch, building up a company, encouraging and building a team, having great clients, great projects, but people that you enjoy working with and managing everything for a company, for the internal kind of, Brian and I each have internal functional leadership roles that you also have to do besides working projects, bringing on new clients. So it's just building a company, I think, is work-wise my proudest accomplishment.
I love it. And I know that there are so many different elements of running a company and owning a company that makes your work go way outside of just site selection. You know, you have to make sure that payroll's done and taxes and all types of things. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool, but I also know it's really hard work and hard to balance everything. And it is just an amazing accomplishment that you and Brian have done to create such a successful and well-renowned business in this marketplace. I mean, there's so many different site selection businesses, and to have such a successful, more boutique option is just really cool. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, well, I would say that we really enjoy what we do, and we enjoy most days doing what we do. So
yeah.
No, thanks. It's been a great ride so far.
Well, I definitely enjoyed our conversation today, and I'm sure the listening audience did as well. So thank you, Kathy, again for being on America's Jobs Team, and I look forward to seeing you later this week.
Yep, same here, and I enjoyed our time this morning, and I will see you in a couple days.
Wow, Kathy Muzio is so amazing. We just love her at Consultant Connect. So next week, I get to speak with Tracy McDaniel, who is the president at TIP Strategies and has over 33 years of experience in economic development. I get the opportunity to speak with her about the direction of workforce that we are going, as well as some internal planning on your own personal leadership. So tune in again next Wednesday for another great interview with Tracy McDaniel on the America's Jobs Team podcast.